Make the choice to begin anywhere in your life, and the journey has started.
We exist more than just to educate. We exist to also revitalize.
And along the way, you can inspire others and be inspired.
But now there's a new generation of scholars, and I am among them.
If you really want to know who you are and what you are capable of, Howard is the choice for you.
Take a moment. Listen to the stories by joining the president of Howard University, Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, and his guest on The Journey.
We have spoken with several political experts regarding the upcoming election. They have informed us as to what we should expect and the importance of mobilizing the vote. Our guest today has been working closely with Joe Biden's campaign, and she will share his plans for the African American community. Hello, my name is Dr. Wayne Frederick, and joining us today on The Journey is Ms. Simone Sanders, political strategist, commentator, and senior advisor for former Vice President Joe Biden's presidential campaign. So welcome, Ms. Sanders, and thanks again for taking the time to do this. I know this is a very busy time for you.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So you are from Omaha, Nebraska. Let's start there. Tell us what it was like growing up in Omaha.
I feel like growing up in Omaha, Nebraska was a similar experience to, believe it or not, growing up in Chicago, Illinois, or growing up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or any urban center, if you will, in this country. You know, I grew up in a middle-class Black neighborhood. But I went to school at a predominantly white Catholic high school. And so I really had the tale of two Omahas, if you will. And so I knew what it was like to have an opportunity at an institution that had smaller class sizes, that gave extracurricular opportunity. But I also knew what it was like to go home every day with my friends that didn't have the same opportunities that I had. And so I think about the work that I have the privilege of doing, talking about these very clear disparities that exist in our society, especially as it relates to this current election. And I just really think that it drives home the point that the story of folks in Omaha, Nebraska is not that different from the story of folks all across this country, and that we are all really experiencing and living through very real life examples of these disparities that COVID has really only put a magnifying glass on every single day in different ways, different vantage points, but it's truly a very similar experience.
So I want to get to the issues of this election, but before we get there, let's cover 2016 and the primary and your involvement with the Sanders campaign. First, to begin with, how did that come about?
Well, Jeff Weaver, Senator Sanders' then campaign manager, he found my resume from somewhere. Someone I used to work for called me and asked me, would I like to work for Senator Sanders? I ended up having the opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with Senator Sanders. And it was in that conversation where we talked about the economy. We talked about criminal justice reform. We got into a little argument, but we reconciled. By the end of that conversation, Senator Sanders asked me, did I have an idea of what I would like to do? And I told him I would like to be his national press secretary. And lo and behold, a couple days later, Jeff Weaver called me back and I was the national press secretary. So it was a really great experience. I will say that knowing everything that I know now, I would go back and work for Senator Sanders all over again. I'm very proud of the movement that I helped build on that campaign, the lessons I learned. And I felt that Senator Sanders has truly done a good service to just people across this country in terms of raising up issues. Right. Now, as people know, I work for Vice President Biden and Senator Kamala Harris. And I oftentimes get the question, Doc, they say, well, what was the difference? Why Bernie in 2016 and Joe Biden now? And just like I felt Senator Sanders was right for that moment, what he was saying was truly resonating, that's how I feel about Joe Biden now in 2020.
And as we come into 2020, obviously there's a lot of anxiety given what happened last time, but we have different issues. So let's just touch on some of the issues. The pandemic. We've seen the debates and heard the back and forth about what would be different in terms of managing the pandemic. What would be different in a Biden presidential White House in terms of managing this pandemic?
Well, Dr. Frederick, there would be a plan. You know, the current president of the United States, in our opinion, has failed the American people. They have failed to get this virus under control. They have failed to put together a proper mitigation plan. You have the White House Chief of Staff, Mark Meadows, who is admitting that the White House is waving a white flag. They are surrendering to the virus, saying we cannot control the virus. Joe Biden, a year ago, warned that we were not prepared for a pandemic in the United States of America. In March of 2020, he put out his plan for what we should be doing, what he would be doing if he were president to get in the onset of this virus. So if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have the privilege to be elected president and vice president of the United States, there's going to be a real task before them in January 2021 when they take office. And the first thing that Joe Biden would be focused on would be tackling this virus and getting it under control, but also simultaneously tackling the economy. Because as you know, this public health crisis is not happening in a vacuum. It is happening in tandem with an economic crisis in this country.
I'm actually happy that you tied those, because I'm often confused as a healthcare professional and a business leader. I'm often curious as to why we have not been tying the public health issue to the economy.
You know, sometimes it just baffles me, some of the decisions that this White House has made. But I'll tell you this, you know, Vice President Biden has said this recently, that he does not want to shut down the economy. He wants to shut down this virus. And if we truly want to fully have operational economies in this country, in every single state, in every community, if we want to ensure that small businesses can open and can be profitable, you know, nearly 40% of African-American-owned businesses in this country have shuttered their doors and are at risk of not reopening. This pandemic has truly just disproportionately affected small business owners in this country. And so I think really, if we understand that the best way to fully build back better, as we like to say, and get this economy back on track, if we fully understand that the best way to do that is in fact to mitigate and get this virus under control. So if we address the public health crisis, we are also addressing this economic crisis that is before us.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Simone Sanders, senior advisor for former Vice President Joe Biden's presidential campaign. All right, so let's talk education. You have a degree from University of Nebraska. Obviously, when we look at the platform right now for higher education in particular, there are lots of concerns. And obviously, one of the platforms is, can we get low-income students into institutions like Howard and not have them leave with increasing student debt? What is the campaign's point of view on education?
Joe Biden and Kamala Harris believe that the ability to get a good quality education in this country should not depend on your socioeconomic status, your zip code, where your parents are from, or what you look like. And so under a Biden-Harris administration, a few things are going to happen. They are going to ensure that if you want to attend a community college or a four-year public college or university or an HBCU, public or private, that you should be able to do so for free. Now, if you attend a community college, everybody can go to community college for free under a Biden-Harris administration, and we have a way to pay for that. If you attend a four-year public college or university or a historically Black college or university, public or private, and your family makes $125,000 a year or less, you will be able to attend that institution tuition-free.
So you brought up the economy. How will President Biden and Vice President Harris pay for free education? And to tie to that, the Republicans, because of the conservative arms of the party, or the ultra-conservative arms of the party, were absolutely allergic to deficits. The deficit now has ballooned beyond what we've ever seen. Obviously, the federal government is not bringing in taxes as it thought it would under the corporate tax cut, et cetera. How would of President Biden pay for this? And would that also increase the deficit even further, given the fact that another large stimulus bill is what's anticipated?
Early on in the Trump administration, the Republicans passed a large tax cut bill that gave $1.3 trillion in tax cuts to the wealthiest folks in this country and corporations. Under a Biden-Harris administration, we're going to repeal $1.3 million of that Trump tax cut and ensure that the wealthiest people in this country pay their fair share. And under Biden-Harris administration, we're going to ensure that not one person who makes less than $400,000 a year sees a tax increase. So this is really about ensuring that this K-shaped recovery that we're experiencing, where right now it is going up for the folks at the top, but people who are middle class or lower income, this economy is going down, that we change that. So it is actually a V-shaped recovery, as the President of the United States likes to claim it is.
We are a few days away from the election, and voter turnout, early voting, has already surpassed all of the early voting that took place in 2016. With that, what are you seeing on the ground and in the campaign in terms of that voter turnout?
Look, we are seeing record enthusiasm, and we are we're excited and emboldened about that enthusiasm. But we're not taking anything for granted, because I remember how I felt in 2016, how we all felt we had it in the bag. And we all remember election night on 2016, and it did not go the way a number of people in this country thought it would go. So from our campaign's perspective, we are not taking anything for granted. We are still running like we are 10 points down and broke. I always say that's the best way to do it. And so we are actively campaigning over the next couple of days. We all know how we have felt during this pandemic. And the reason we are conducting conversations via Zooms and Skypes and wearing masks when we leave our homes is because the current president of the United States does not know what he is doing. He has failed the American people. He has not put a plan together to mitigate this virus or get this economy back on track. But Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have a plan. So our message to voters is that you have the power, that you cannot be stopped. If you go to the polls, your voices will be heard. So we are just really trying to, you know, get the vote out and get the word out over these next couple of days. And we're down to the wire. We view Election Day as election deadline. So people are voting right now, and we are encouraging people to continue to go to the polls.
As we wrap, for the young people who listen to this and watch this, hearing you and recognizing just how young you are and what you've accomplished at this point, it would be great for you to probably give us some insight into what's your next act, as well as what's your advice for those young people who want to be the next Simone Sanders, and as your name suggests, wants to be heard?
Thank you so much. Well, I will say I'm squarely focused on Election Day. I've been on this campaign trail for over 500 days, and I cannot wait to get to election deadline. And I fully believe that a Joe Biden, Kamala Harris administration will save lives. I am voting for protection of pre-existing conditions. I am voting to be heard. I am voting for an economy that works for people that look like me. I'm voting for empathy and compassion and leadership and some people with a plan. So that's what I'm focused on. And for young people out there who are just experiencing this moment, wondering how they can make their voice heard, how they can be engaged and involved, I am here to tell you to show up. We need you. No one, as President Obama has said recently, is coming to save us. We are the ones that we have been waiting for. And if we show up at the ballot box, that's only part of the equation. Now, voting is a very critical tool and necessary tool and toolbox of social justice. And it is a tool that if we don't use, the protesting and the advocacy and everything else is not as strong. So we have to vote. We have to show up. And then we have to show up the next day and the next day after that, because every major movement in this country has been fueled and propelled by young people. And in my opinion, that's not changing anytime soon.
All right, thank you very much. We wish you the best of luck. And we also are very proud of what you've been taking, not just your career, but taking the issues that affect the African diaspora. So thank you. Thanks for being here. My guest today was Simone Sanders, senior advisor for former Vice President Joe Biden's presidential campaign. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Genie.